It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, or wherever you're at watching us getting ready for the NFL draft tomorrow. Omar and Mike T were down on the south side yapping it up yesterday. Kaboom was there to cover it, and we're going to talk all about it. Plus, all the fallout from Raw after Mania as well. There's plenty to get into this morning on Kabali and Mac. Thanks for joining us whenever and wherever you're joining us. We're presented by the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you go if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They'll get you all hooked up. They'll make sure you get out of the place you need to get out of, get it sold, get into the place you need to get into. Maybe it's not both. Maybe it's just one. Either way, the whole team, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, they're all there waiting to help you, and this is the time of year to get it done. They are busy, and they want to help you get into the place where you need to be. Maybe it's the forever home. Maybe it's the starter home. Whatever it may be, they are there and ready for you. Go to HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, TeamHomes.com. Kaboom. How you doing?
Spectacular.
Spectacular. Spectacular
stuff.
There's a lot going on. A lot. And
nothing.
Well, see, that's the question. That in and of itself is the question. It's smokescreen season. What's your favorite song about smoke, Kaboom? Is it Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple? Is it... what else is there? There's plenty of Snoop songs about smoke.
I don't know.
That doesn't seem your speed.
I'm not a smoke guy.
You don't burn the sage.
Vitamins.
Vitamins.
I'm just looking up smoke songs. Who's Ari Lennox?
Annie Lennox? Jesus.
Ari Lennox.
What do you?
I don't know. It came up as A-R-I Lennox.
Oh.
Smoke, it says.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I'm sorry. I mean, there's...
Here we go.
What?
You know, during COVID, we had to do this at the other place I used to work at. This remains... to be talked about. We had to like rank really stupid stuff during COVID.
Yeah.
So here's one, not on that, but a different one. Different rankings of the word smoke in the title. Smoke that cigarette?
Don't know it.
Smoke gets in your eyes?
I've heard of that at least.
Smoke in the water.
Smoke two joints by Sublime. Remember that one?
Summer smoke
joints in the morning.
Cinder smoke and smoke. I've never heard of any of these.
Yeah.
I smoke too much.
I thought there'd be more songs about smoke, but I guess they're about smoke without smoke in the title. Anyway, it's smoke screen season around the NFL. Because the
joints is 19th.
I thought that would be a lot higher. The great Sublime in the early 90s. Anyway, we are live across X, YouTube. YouTube, very important, by the way, because you want to get subscribed. If you're one of the first 1,500 subscribers, you will be in the running for a fantastic prize, which we'll tell you more about a little bit later. We're on Facebook. Wherever you want to find us, just search Kaboali and Mac, and we are there for you. The day before the draft now, Kaboom, we got to thank as well our friends at Southwest Greens. Southwest Greens, the place to go. I was out there looking at my lawn last night. It's a disaster. I should probably just break down and get the Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They'll get you a beautiful artificial surface in your yard. Maybe you don't want to do the whole yard. Maybe you just want like a corner. Maybe you want to practice your putting because you're a golfer. I don't know. Maybe you just want something around the pool or around the play area for the kids. It's safe for the kids. It's safe for the dogs. Whole hell of a lot safer than all the chemicals you might be spraying on your lawn every single day to get it to grow. So go to southwestgreenspa.com. The best looking lawn in the neighborhood without any of the maintenance and the crap that your neighbors are having to go through with, like I said, spraying stuff on the lawn, watering it constantly, mowing, taking care of it, all of it. Anyway, Southwest Greens is where you want to go. Tell Jake that Kaboali and Mac sent you. We thank them for their support.
He says crap because I was sitting on my front porch the other day and a big orange dog. What are those things called? The old...
Orange dog?
Yeah, orange.
Like Clifford is wandering your neighborhood. He was red.
Big red. That's a red dog.
Yeah.
A big, not German Shepherd. I don't even know what it was. It was a big dog. A lady was walking and I'm sitting there. She don't see me. Dog goes in my front yard, takes a big crap.
Should she pick it up at least?
Yeah, she picked it up, but I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, look, hey.
I mean, had Southwest Greens that wouldn't have made a big burn mark in my front yard.
He didn't actually leave a burn mark. Come on.
Well, maybe, if you're a very pet-friendly guy, you know, in your front yard, leave a little patch and put a little fake fire hydrant there just for dogs to go take a dump in.
Well, they don't take a dump in a fire hydrant, Kaboom. That's not how that works. They pee on them.
I'm just saying, I found it ironic the one time I sat on my porch and a big golden retriever, that's what it was, took a big dump in my front yard.
Again, if they clean it up, I don't care whose dog craps in my yard, as long as whoever owns the dog cleans the crap up so I don't walk out there and step in it. I'm totally fine with that. But again, if you have a dog and you're worried about where they're dropping dumps
or the neighbors,
it'd be totally fine to go on a Southwest Greens lawn.
They got a lot of deer crap out there too, I saw the other day.
Yeah, that's everywhere. They're all over the place this time of year. All right, into the business at hand. Yesterday, down on the south side, Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin spoke. You were there for it. It was about 30 minutes of sound and fury signifying very, very, very little. Although I think we both had similar takeaways about the quarterback position. I just want to play a couple of little clips here. Thanks to Steelers.com. You can go watch the whole press conference there, Steelers.com or Steelers on YouTube. One of the first things Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin were asked about is this idea of getting a quarterback on day one. And if they don't get a quarterback on day one, what's that mean? What do they do then?
Quarterback on the first day. You have a good idea of what might be available to you in the third round that you think you can get a decent player there.
I think we're going to get without going into specifics of the position, I think we're going to get a good player third round and, all the rounds. You know, we went through our scenarios this morning, Andy and I and Dan Colburn in the group, and there's some really good players out there. And, I don't think we're saying, hey, we're taking this position in this round and or that round, and we'll just let it come to us.
I thought it was interesting, Mark. I don't know what you thought, that he kind of slipped up and said third round. I don't know if that was a slip up, if that was intentional by Omar. There's a lot of games being played this time of year, but it sounded to me like they like, which is surprising to me because I kind of feel the opposite about it, but they like the depth of the class. He mentioned again later in the press conference, or maybe it was earlier at a different time, that they really like the class of quarterbacks as a whole. At least that's what Omar said. It sounds to me, though, like they're not running to the podium to draft one in the first round.
I don't think so. I think a lot of things would have to break a certain way for them to take a quarterback in the first round. I mean, I think they've identified a number of people that, as Omar said, we're not, regardless of what somebody offers us, if this guy's there, we're taking him. I'm not quite sure if quarterbacks is on that list. It might be on that list, but it might be down the line. Maybe if all the defensive linemen are gone. Maybe if running back, and I've been saying this for months now, that's definitely in play here in the first round. But once again, things would have to break that certain way. They like a couple of running backs there. Now, if everything does fall to a certain way, then there's a Shador Sanders or a Jackson Dart or whoever. And to be honest with you, I think it's only one or the other. I don't think it's both of them. I'm not quite sure which one it is that they
would. You mean that they actually like? That they would actually?
They would take in the first round.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure which one it is.
Well, this
it might be more of a Dart type of guy, but might not be either. I just think that they're going to be very hesitant of taking a gamble on a quarterback. And whoever is going to be there, if it's Dart, if it's Sanders, it's going to be a gamble. It's a gamble. They want more of a sure thing, and I think they have a list of 5, 7, 9 players could be falling to 21. That's more of a sure thing than let's draft a quarterback because maybe he'll be good.
Yeah, I get the sense that, well, there's a couple things here. Again, we are in the thick of smokescreen season. Like, remember how when you were a kid, they teach you about fire safety and if the house filled up with smoke, you got to get down on your stomach and belly crawl to the front door. I feel like there's that much smoke in the room right now about
You remember the old in television game, Atari game, Spy Hunter? You used to press the button for the big smoke screen.
Yeah, and then you couldn't. Yeah, no, that's a good. That's a
this
much
might actually right be now. An oil slick too.
Oh, it's an oil slick in front of a smoke screen.
What am I talking about? That was an arcade game, too. You used to go to the arcade.
But they had it on Atari, didn't they? I had older cousins that had Atari.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm saying is this is maybe a combination of smoke screen and oil slick.
I do think that with it being smoke screen season, it's starting to have similar vibes to the year they drafted Pickett, in so much as all the talk before that draft was Malik Willis, Malik Willis, Malik Willis, Malik Willis. And then draft night came and the opportunity to get Pickett came along and they jumped at it. I'm not saying the same thing would happen here or that all the stuff we've been hearing about Shedeur Sanders is similar to that, but maybe it is. Maybe they really do have an eye towards Jackson Dart, and that's why we haven't heard anything about that. And all we've heard is Sanders, 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 Sanders.
Yeah, you know, Mike Tomlin spent 5-7 minutes, 3-4 questions speaking glowingly of Shedeur Sanders. To me, that doesn't mean that they like Shedeur Sanders. To me, that might be, hey, anybody behind us, if you want to come get him, maybe give us a call. We might be able to be talked to about if we want to move back a couple spots. I just think the Kenny Pickett thing is totally different because I think that they've learned their lesson of, once again, they fell in love with a guy that probably enamored them because of need more than what they see in talent.
Yeah.
If I'm picking 21st overall, dude, I mean, we saw the last 10 drafts. I mean, they haven't been great. You got to hit. You got to hit big. You can't hope that, okay, let's just throw things against the wall with a quarterback and see what happens. So, I think still going to be a moot point. I still think all these quarterbacks are gone by the time the Steelers even have a chance to take them. Right now, I think it would be more of a long shot they take a quarterback than they don't.
Yeah, I mean, in a world where maybe both of those guys were available at 21, Sanders and Dart, I don't know if they'd be any more tempted or not. Again, I know Art Rooney said a couple – was it Art said it a couple months ago, or maybe Mike reiterated it down in Florida a couple weeks ago, that the mistake of drafting Pickett when they did in the Kenny Pickett experience doesn't necessarily deter them from drafting a quarterback early this year. But I got to believe – yeah, I was just going to say, I got to believe that given this quarterback class and how underwhelming I think it may be, that's gnawing at the back of their mind a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, rightfully so too. I mean, it's still fresh in their minds. I mean, that's a year and a half into a guy that they thought was going to be you can trick yourself into believing anything, and we all believed the Kenny Pickett hype train. And
did we?
I mean, at least after they drafted him. I mean, that first year, that first second offseason, I thought he was unbelievable. Even later in his rookie year, I thought he
had some really nice moments towards, you know, like the drive against the Raiders. Yeah, the end of the game against Baltimore, the throw to Najee. Yeah. You know, there were some moments there, yeah, that were nice. But I was, it's not being revisionist to say I was never a fan of drafting him with a first round pick.
What's crazy?
And it has nothing to do with the Penn State.
You know what crazy me about Shedeur is, I mean, nobody has a real feel on it. I mean, you can see people saying, okay, he's a great quarterback. He can be taken 2-3 overall. To man, he's not even going to be in the first round. I don't know if I've ever saw that big of a gap with a quarterback prospect of, you know, of a potential first rounder that fall. Maybe I get, I mean, Malik Willis was different because you were enamored by maybe the arm strength and some of the stuff, but he was mm-hmm. still a Liberty guy that didn't have play against top competition that had a lot of question marks. But I don't, you know, I just don't see that why there's such a big span between the haves and the have-nots when it comes to Sanders. You know, the ones that say yes and the ones that say absolutely not.
I think there's some coaches that buy into the intangibles, which is actually something Tomlin was asked about, what they gleaned from their meeting with Shedeur over just watching the tape.
I think the things that stood out were evident in this video. there's a toughness there that doesn't get talked about enough. There's a competitive spirit there that doesn't get talked about enough. I know he's very talented and has made a lot of plays for his university and his team. But the intangible qualities displayed on tape were impressive to me.
The intangibles, Kaboom. The intangibles. That's the same kind of crap they said about Kenny. You remember that?
What was it? No, the crap he said about Kenny was, what was that?
He's a winner.
No, it was something like the football gods or the, what was that one thing? He kept saying about Kenny because he works hard. I don't have to worry about him because he has the, I don't know, some kind of BS. I want to know if a guy can run the ball, if a guy can
throw
the ball. I want to know if the guy can lead an offense. I want to know if the guy's liked by his teammates.
Like, all the intangible stuff comes after, can you actually physically do the job? Yeah. And I think Shedeur Sanders is okay at doing the job at the NFL level, presumably. But there's all the arm strength stuff in pushing the ball downfield outside the hashes that I think is still worth questioning. And I think why he doesn't make sense as a top 10, top 15, top 20 pick, and why a lot of teams have those question marks, because it showed during that showcase, pro day, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, I think he'll be good enough. And if you want to use the intangibles to somehow talk yourself into drafting him too early, then by all means, go ahead. But I think if a team does that, they're probably going to get similar results to what the Steelers got with Kenny.
Good enough should not be
first
overall pick. I mean, it just shouldn't be. I mean, just wait. Mason, if it's Mason, I still think Aaron Rodgers will be here. I think Mason has a good chance to, even if things fall apart at the end with whatever Rodgers, which I still don't anticipate happening, I think Mason's good enough for right now and just revisit it again next year rather than, you know, going out on a limb. I mean, there's very good ball players here. And what did Todd Haley say to us a couple of weeks ago? You know, you got to make that decision. Do you want a TJ Watt or do you want to go try to find a quarterback? Maybe TJ Watt sitting out there as in Derek Harmon or right. Walter Nolan or the running back Hampton from Carolina. Maybe that is their version of TJ Watt. Instead, you're getting Mitch Trubisky. I mean, that's why they get paid the big bucks, right?
Yeah. It's hard to discern what they're saying, and as part of the game, right? They said as much yesterday. What they're saying on purpose so that other people hear it and it becomes reported on, and what they're saying that they actually believe in. All part of smokescreen season, all part of the competition of getting the best out of the draft and doing better than your opponents in the draft, which is actually something they were asked about as well. But first, Kaboom, we got to thank a new sponsor for jumping on board.
Uh-oh.
Nail Studio 2 in McMurray, Peters Township, Donaldson's Crossroads. I know you get pedicures all the time.
I could use one. I could use like a...
In all seriousness, I know a ton of athletes and former athletes.
Oh, they all do it.
Get their feet worked on. And not only that, but I know a ton of guys like us, people like us who are like, oh my God, what am I going to get my wife? What am I going to get my girlfriend? What am I going to get even my mom for Mother's Day? Mother's Day is right around the corner in Nail Studio 2 out in Donaldson's Crossroads. If you buy a $100 gift card right now for mom, you'll get a complimentary $20 gift card for a future service for you. So
for me,
guys, ladies, whoever buys it, not for Kabali. You're not buying a gift card for Kaboom. That's not how this works. I want to be clear. Go to nailstudio2.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at nailstudio.mcmurray. Like I said, right there in Peters Township, Donaldson's Crossroads, right there off of 19. You can always call them for an appointment as well. Say hello to Vinny at 724-941-4595. But we thank them for jumping on board with Kabali and Mac as well. And perfect time of year, whether it's Mother's Day, whether it's, you know,
Memorial Day.
I got a daughter going to prom. She's going to want her nails done. Memorial Day, you could get the stars and stripes on your fingers. You want to get something done for the draft, you get some black and gold with some Steeler logos on there, right? but graduation season, whatever it may be. Nail Studio 2 in McMurray, Peters Township, Donaldson's Crossroads area, 724-941-4595. We thank them for jumping on board with Cabali and Mac. Your nails are going to look beautiful, Kaboom, by the way, especially your feet once you get them done.
You know, I could use like a... My feet aren't very good.
It'd be like Dumb and Dumber when they have to take the bandsaw to do his toenails.
It might. I mean, my feet hurt from time to time. So they'd have to pull out the old nail file. I'm not the old, what do you call that?
The grinder. The yeah. The smoke coming up.
You know, some people, you ever see LeBron's feet? Oh, my goodness.
They're awful. I mean, I guess that's 25, 30 years of being on your feet playing basketball, does it? It's that's like when you see old football, old offensive linemen's fingers, right? And they're going every which way, or old wide receiver fingers are going all over the place. You got a pinky that goes like this.
I mean, one pass to what the hell is his name now? Sammy Coates broke his finger and ruined his career.
That's right.
It was a hell of a game he had against the Jets there, but he broke his finger.
Never the same after that, right? One busted finger. Speaking of the draft, though, and what I mentioned a second ago, the competitiveness that exists between teams and the smoke screens that they're trying to throw up, they're trying to throw everybody off the scent, and Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan were both asked about that yesterday.
I are trying to outsmart their teams and things.
I think it's already started when I wake up at 2 a.m. and I'm thinking about it all for the last week. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, like, you know, it's a game to be played. It's competition. It is fun, certainly. I think about it as pro days, as you guys watch us move, who I interact with, where I go. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. But that's a fun component of the competition.
You mentioned the
same could be said about who we bring in on pre-draft visits.
Oh, yeah, and then he had the Mike Tomlin chuckle after that. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Did he just say, we only brought Shador in to throw you off the set? Is that what he just said there?
I mean,
they really like Shador. Wouldn't they have went to Colorado to see him work out?
Did they send anybody out there?
No, I think they sent somebody out there, yeah. But not one and two.
So here's the question then. Does it also feed into how many of a different position they bring? Because they brought more running backs in than anything else. They brought in more running backs for pre-draft visits than they did defensive linemen. 9 running backs, I think 8 D linemen out of the 30 pre-draft visits they were allowed to have. You've been talking about running backs since for like the last month, and that it might be a realistic possibility in the first round. So here's the question then. If you mentioned Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, if he's there at 21, is that maybe a surprise pick that we don't see coming because they believe in the depth of the D-line class and say, hey, we're going to get a high-level running back? They just got done talking up Jalen Warren yesterday too, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends on who's on the board. I mean, you know, if you have a defensive lineman there, I don't think they take Hampton. You know, so I think it's all relative of who's left on the board at that time. So, I mean, if they're top defensive linemen are off the board, I would say, yeah, I think Hampton would be definitely in play at that point, unless he's taken before that. I mean, once again, we want specificity.
Good yes. job by you.
Right now, and it's impossible to tell right now. You just don't know until you get to, you know, pick 10, pick 12, and you're like, uh-oh, this could be the route it's going, and these guys are still available right now, so it's hard. Woody Page. Somebody just said Woody Page.
What?
I think Woody Page just said the Broncos are taking Hampton.
That's crazy that Justin just posted that on YouTube in the comments there. And don't forget, you guys, however you're watching this, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you can always interact in the comments. The mock draft I just pulled up has Omarion Hampton 20 to Denver. I've seen that in a couple other places as well. Look, he's probably off the board by the time the Steelers come up. And I think a lot of this is just my opinion now. A lot of what we're getting about the Steelers regarding quarterbacks, specifically Shador Sanders, regarding any other positions that you may see people talking about, running back, receiver, corner, whatever it may be, it's all smokescreen, buddy. It's all the, what was the name of the game? Spy Hunt. Is that what it was again?
Spy Hunter.
Spy Hunter. Yeah. It's all the Spy Hunter oil slick smoke screen. Bang, bang. So that you can keep people off your tail. Yeah, when you do, and everybody else feeds into this feeding frenzy of offensive skill position players. And you're sitting there at 21, just rubbing your hands together going, yep, we're going to get old Derek Harmon or Walter Nolan. At least one of them's going to be there, boys. Now, again, if both of them are there, that's where I think you see them consider the possibility, if anybody calls them and is interested, and maybe moving back a few spots, because other than maybe Green Bay at 23, I don't see a ton of spots between the Steelers at 21 and, say, we've talked about the Rams a lot at 26, maybe Detroit at 28, Washington 29, whatever. I don't see a lot of spots where they're going D-line late in the first round. So the Steelers may think, hey, if we can get a second round pick out of a deal for moving back a couple spots and still get one of our guys, I think that could be a realistic possibility still.
Hey, when you do one of those reels later, maybe we should do – oh, I can't see it. Can never see it. Look, smoke screen. You can almost see it, right? There's the smoke.
Yeah,
screen.
I can kind of see it, yeah, with your – oh, yeah. That's perfect.
We need some Spy Hunter smoke screen on one of those reels. But, you know, you're talking about moving back. If they move back, you better well bully. If say they move back five spots,
yeah,
they better be quite comfortable with five people left on their board that they would love to have in the first round. The last thing you want to do is move back five spots and you only got two guys you really want and they're gone. And you're like, oh, geez, why'd I move back? Now I got to take somebody I really don't love.
Yeah.
You better be sure.
You better be absolutely sure. You're right.
Which leaves you believe that they wouldn't move back too far. I mean, you see mock drafts, them getting out of the first from the 21st to the 30th or whatever. I mean, you're just taking a gamble there, man. You're just saying, I don't want my first round pick. And let's see what we can get in the second round. Quantity over quality at that point. To me, if you come out of the draft with one stud, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and I think – hold on, there's a great question here from Ryan on YouTube I want to ask you in a second. But I do think, given where the talent lies in this draft, we talked about it the other day, I think this is a very second, third, fourth round heavy draft. That's where the most quality is, where you're going to get the most bang for the buck. I do think – again, I know how ecstatic they are, and I think Steelers fans, myself included, are ecstatic about getting DK Metcalf for a second round pick, basically. But – you do have to consider the fact that you'd much rather have picks on Friday night and early Saturday afternoon than maybe a pick on even Thursday night. I'm not saying you trade all the way out of the first round, but I think it's worth a consideration about moving back in the first round a few spots, like you said, if you know you can still get a guy that you like and maybe pick up some second day draft cap.
I wouldn't go any further than the Rams at 26. Anything other than that, I wouldn't even contemplate.
Okay, if you say so. I downloaded the smoke screen picture so everybody can see exactly what we're talking about. Hold on.
Sure looks like Mike Tomlin.
I'm all over the technical stuff today. You like that? It's not going real well because now this isn't showing up. That.
Look at that beautiful yellow screen.
You know, I don't see you pushing the buttons.
Well,
there's the smoke screen. There it is.
My Hunter, baby. That needs to be on the – I love that game, by the way. look how basic it looks like now.
That is
some, the art in the 80s.
That is some glorious 8-bit beauty right there. Look at that, man. That is childhood right there.
Sometimes simplicity is better.
It is
very simple. Right. I don't even know what the old concept of the game was, but I just know every time I had smokescreen, I used it.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? Unless you had the oil slick, which I'll be honest, seemed to be more effective than the smokescreen. But
there was those old mob cars that always chased you around there.
Yeah, they had guys with like Tommy guns shooting at you and stuff. So at the height of smokescreen season, this is a great, absolutely fantastic question from Ryan on YouTube that I think you have to answer. Hey, boom, when you get a lead, do you take into account that your platform is being used for a smokescreen? Do you have some who are more reliable and truthful? That's a fantastic question.
Yeah. Well, myself, I try to absolutely make sure of I trust the person. If not, then I'm pretty much not going to put it out there. I mean, so not a lot of people are like that. Some people just, if they hear something through, I'm not saying that I'm above anybody or anything to that case, but I don't want to get burnt. I mean,
right.
Talk about the old Tomlin not going to be there for Jackson Dart. Well, when the head coach tells you himself he's not going to be there, you pretty much trust that, right? Apparently not. So.
Plans change. Yeah. Plans change. Things happen.
You know, I'll give you a prime example is that Aiyuk stuff. I mean, I heard a ton of stuff about the Aiyuk stuff, but at that point, man, that stuff was just, if it wasn't coming out of the mouths of the general manager or the head coach who would call you and say, hey, this is happening, I wasn't touching that because it was such a volatile situation where things were changing by minute. So you just have to be careful. I mean, a lot of people just, like I said, you could hear, hey, I heard. Yeah, who'd you hear from? You heard from somebody who covers the team who might have saw it on a reel that might have saw somebody who was talking about it, who covered it. You know, you just got to be very, very careful. So, yeah, there are certain guys that you just, you know, they tell you something, you're like, I'm running with this. But other ones, you're like, I'm not really very comfortable with this, so I wouldn't use it.
What about, like, let's even say in the case of, like, let's say somebody pretends like they're giving you something very secretive. Like, listen, this is totally off the record, but I got to tell you, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. And they're and you're not the only one they tell. Maybe they tell a bunch of people, right? Like, hey, listen, you guys all know that, like, this is how this is going to work. Totally off the record. You're not getting it from me, but this is how it's going to go down. Do you then say, okay, wait a second, we're still in the thick of smokescreen season. I don't know how much I can believe this.
Well, that has to be the history of the person, how much you trust the person. I mean,
fair.
And so that, I mean, I don't even think, put it this way, even if they do tell it to a group of people and they're all the group of the people who are present at the time, they'll be just a tad skeptical.
Just like Mike Tomlin said yesterday, they know that everything they do or say is being watched or listened to and thrown out there as a report or a source.
4 years ago, I asked him about Kenny Pickett and following these quarterbacks around. He goes, we don't care what our business is out there. We do what we do. And all of a sudden it's, we might be doing things that are not really truthful. I mean, which one is it now?
I think, you know, he admitted last year in the middle of a press conference that he will say shit just to get the media asking him questions.
He just almost mentioned it just now. Hey, maybe we bring in these top 30 guys. Well, maybe, maybe not either. Maybe there's a handful. Maybe there's one or two of them. I assume when he said maybe his top 30 visits too, I mean, maybe it was, that was a Shador Sanders reference. I'm speculating on that, but who else could he be talking about?
Anybody. Jackson Dart, for that matter. Any of the running backs. Who knows? Maybe they have drafting Dylan Sampson from Tennessee in the third round if he's there, but they brought him in for a visit anyway.
I don't think he moves the needle, you know.
No.
Oh, my goodness, he's coming in for a 30? Yeah, of course. Okay, whatever. We might not have his medicals. We might not got enough on him. Maybe we would like to see him. So, the Shador Sanders, I mean – everything that Mike Tomlin saw for him, what did he need from him? They probably put him up on the board and said, hey, man, what do we do in this situation, and this situation?
But again, that's all well and good. And clearly you want your quarterback to be like a high-level processor and be able to make quick, decisive reads. But I come back to, you can make all the reads in the world. If you can't physically make the throw or make the play, depending on what position it is, then you can't. Right? There's only so much you can do about a guy's physical traits and attributes. If they can't do it, they can't do it.
On a consistent basis, too.
Right. Exactly. And that's one of the biggest differentiators. I don't know who told me this years ago. I've probably heard it from multiple people over the years. One of the biggest differentiators from being a college quarterback and being pretty good or very good to being an NFL quarterback and being very good is that, like, 15 to 17 yard out or comeback route, right? Especially when you're on the far hash and you've got Orlovsky called it a couple weeks ago, a piss missile. You got to just fire an absolute Paul Skeens fastball like 40 yards on a rope to get it to a guy, you know, because it's third and 12 and you got to pick up 13 to get the first down. And I don't see Sanders making those throws.
Well, isn't he a big proponent for Sanders though?
He is, but every person I've heard in the national media who has been a proponent of Sanders going anywhere, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Saints, whether it's the Steelers, has been about, well, this team really needs a quarterback.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's all it is. And I'm not taking anything away from Dan Orlovsky's like analysis of the players. I think he does a really good job with that. And it's a really good point he makes about Sanders not necessarily having a bunch of tape where he makes that throw. But just because teams need quarterbacks, I don't think they should fall into the trap this year of drafting a guy like Shedeur Sanders, who is not a first-round talent. Like, a first-round quarterback makes that throw, and he can't necessarily make that throw.
Well, put it this way. If he was such a can't-miss prospect, why would the Browns be looking to move out of three?
Yeah, or the Browns out of two and the Giants out of three. They're both looking.
I mean, you're both. I mean, if he was a can't miss, absolute sure bet, if you're the Giants with Russell Wilson and whoever it is, Tommy Cutlets, or if you're the Browns with Pickett, Flacco, and whoever else you have, Jameis. Jameis still on that team? I don't even know.
No, Jameis is in New York now. Left Cleveland for New York. Went from one bad team.
You sprint to the old podium, right? If he was a sure bet. So if he's not a sure bet at three, why would you take him at 17 or 17 picks later or 18 picks later?
There's a couple more decent comments on YouTube that
if
I want to get.
Derek Carmen had such a bad medical report, why has he never missed a game, number one? And number two is, when has it ever hindered the Steelers before Darnell Washington, Peyton Wilson? Who else just recently was banged up that they picked up, they drafted?
I have to go back and look. I can't remember.
Washington. Well, Zach Frazier had the knee or the ankle broken leg. I think last year a bunch of them did. So I don't think
that sounds totally like somebody. And I'm not saying, I think it was Brian Brodus of The Fan in Dallas who reported it. I'm not saying he's wrong or making anything up or anything like that, but that sounds like somebody going to him and saying, hey, you know what I heard, so that they can try and get Harmon to slide.
Fautanu, there's another one. I always forget about Fautanu. He was one, too, that had some red flags last year. So it hasn't really come up and bit him, although Darnell Washington, I don't know how long of a career he has with those knees, but that's another reason why he dropped us so where he did drop. I mean, so I don't think that bothers him as long as they come in and, you know, pass
the physical, put in a good workout,
have
decent tape.
I mean, you go see Doc Bradley, put you through the old medical evaluation, say, yeah, you're good. So, plus, he hasn't missed anything. I don't know if he's ever missed a game at Oregon.
That's a good question. Or at Michigan State, for that matter. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at each specific season's game log.
I don't think that will be a factor is what I'm getting.
Okay. Ryan, who had the smokescreen question for you earlier, also asked about can a first-round pick, trading their first-round pick, get them a high second and a third?
No. I think they truly believe, organizationally, that it's going to be almost impossible to get back into the second. If they're going to trade for a first, if they somehow move back, they would love to move back three, four, five spots and get something in the second. I think organizationally they think that that is impossible. Just how
you
it
have
is.
To have.
I think they think looking more at third round if that would happen.
The perfect storm for that, I really believe, would be the Rams sitting at 26, really liking Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders for that matter, and seeing both of them or one of them, the one that they really like, slide, and they call up Omar and say, hey, listen, we got to be at 21 right now. We don't want one of your defensive linemen. We'll tell you that much, but here's, here's our second round pick. Just swap firsts with us. That would be the perfect storm for that. But even that is really expensive to move up five spots at the back end of the first round.
Saying. Even if you're looking late second, I just don't think that's important. They would love to get back in a second, but I don't think that they think that that's plausible. At least moving in the first.
Yinzer Joe says, can you guys realistically say the value of the second or third QBs in this draft would be better than any of the top 10 defensive tackles? I mean, I would say it depends where you're drafting them, obviously. Like, if the second and third quarterbacks in this draft are Sanders and Dart in some order, I think they're both, in any other year, mid to late second round quarterbacks. But, like, in this year, it's we've talked about it for months now, the quarterback thing is overheated. And one, if not both of them, will go a whole lot higher than they should. Now, the defensive tackle class is a whole lot deeper. I mean, you can go, I think, four, five, maybe six deep with guys that should go in that same time frame, in the you know, before the mid to late second round. So, I don't know. Defensive tackles, Yinzer Joe, are obviously, in my opinion anyway, a whole lot deeper than quarterbacks.
Yinzer Joe.
I appreciate the question, though, Yinzer Joe.
Look at Robert trying to troll.
I'm not putting that up on the screen, Robert.
Trying to troll. I know where you're going.
Got to thank, as well, our good friends. I swear to God, I told you that we had them over to try and fix the AC the other day, Impact HVAC. They fixed the compressor was blown, so they fixed that, but then there was a fan that wasn't working. They had to fix that too. I don't know why, Kaboom, but our house is falling apart around us. It's like 15 years old.
Don't you just purchase a new unit?
We don't need one. See, this is why I like Tony and the guys at Impact HVAC. 412-297-1852 or Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Because they don't trick you into buying shit you don't need. They will come to your house. They'll look at what's going on with your system. And they'll try their damnedest to fix it as long as it's fixable so that you're not laying out $3,000-$4,000 or whatever it may be for a new furnace or a new AC unit, right? So they're honest and they're reliable. And that's why I love them. A quality family-owned business in the South Hills, Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, 412-297-1852. They should just have a parking spot in our driveway at this point, but everything's working now, so that's good.
Yeah, by the way, you think I'm going to do that old ice bucket challenge? You're crazy.
Why don't you wait for a hot day like tomorrow?
Zero chance.
It was kind of refreshing after
when this was big back in the day. A lot of people would tag me and I just would laugh at them. That ain't happening.
That's nice. That's real nice. Come on.
I don't even know what it was for, but I saw
ago it was to benefit ALS awareness and research. Now it's to benefit mental health awareness.
Yeah, let's do something different than dumping buckets of water on people.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just long enough. Somebody said, hey, why don't we do this again? And I got tagged in one, so I figured I'd just pay it off. And I paid it off. You're tagged in it. And you're going to be that guy that doesn't pay it off.
I am absolutely not going to be that guy.
You're that guy that doesn't forward the chain letter back in the day.
Absolutely not.
Jesus. Real quick, before we wrap this up, because we got to wrap up a little bit early today. And we had to start a couple minutes later than we wanted to because you had to get your teeth cleaned.
Well, you talk about my teeth. I mean, where are you going now?
I got to go to a work meeting.
Oh,
I got a real job.
Whoa.
Y108 every afternoon, Kaboom. Y108 8-man jam, by the way. Thursday, May 22nd, Rivers Casino Event Center. Unofficial kickoff to the summer concert season. You need to be there. I just had somebody. I just had a notable Pittsburgh celebrity, I'll put it.
Bubba.
Reach out to me and ask if they could get tickets. And they said they would come on the show in return. And so we may
Jeremy Piven.
Not Jeremy Piven, but maybe
who
somebody.
Who else did you ask for free tickets so far? It's funny, they're getting your back, huh?
Yeah, well, hey. See, this is what we do. We do favors for one another, Mark. That's how the world works.
You won't get me Shaboozy or
Shibuzi's not even coming to town. Jelly How do you want roll. Me to get you Shibuzi tickets when Shibuzi's not going to be in Pittsburgh?
You're going to get me Jelly Roll tickets.
We'll see. Okay? We'll see.
Jelly Roll.
We'll see.
Me and Jelly are like this now.
Are you? Not you right. guys hang out at the big night at?
He doesn't even know who I am.
I doubt it. I bet Jelly knows who you are.
Nah, Jelly.
Jelly's... You guys be two peas in a pod. Nah,
something else.
Raw after WrestleMania was better than WrestleMania, I think. Would you agree?
Oh, the zigs and zags, baby, huh? You don't even know where to begin at.
I mean, Becky Lynch turns heel. Well,
you know, I almost
start there.
For the first time in my life, I feel bad for Bayley. They yank her WrestleMania match off for just to give the belt to Becky, just to give it away the next day. It's like, what?
Well,
Bayley's not hurt. Triple H even said Becky will be fine.
He was making that
comment like we had to do this.
Because it's a build to SummerSlam and a match between Becky and Bayley, probably. That's what I think.
Becky looks like she's coming in to push some of the younger. I mean, Lyra. There's a whole host.
Turned on Lyra. She's going to help push her.
There's a whole host of.
They'll have an IC title feud. They're bringing in all these girls from Next.
Yeah,
like
what I'm saying.
Four of them were there on Monday night.
That's what it is. I think she's trying to. What Becky should do is be able to create her own faction. I would love to see her join the Heyman crew.
The exact same thing on Monday night.
But
the
more I think about it, I don't think that would benefit her at all.
I think it would be a great storyline. And maybe you're right. Maybe she doesn't need that to benefit her and her character. But part of me misses... And look, it was misguided in the end. Remember how the NWO at one point had like 18 people in it and they would come out and they'd beat down Sting or DDP or whoever it was.
18 or 80.
Yes. And they'd fill up the ring and like, you know, everybody was in the NWO at one point. Vincent's out there. And that part sucked. But there was an excitement level. You remember when they were first building the NWO and... You'd tune in to Nitro to see who they would flip. You know, it was, oh, my God, Kurt Hennig just turned NWO. Oh, my God, this guy. Oh, my God, this guy. And you would tune in on a Monday night to see if they would flip somebody to NWO. And then sometimes they'd swerve you, right? Like DDP, you know, had the NWO shirt on. And then he, you know, gives Scott Hall the diamond cutter and rips the shirt off. But there was an excitement to that I think they could – somewhat replicate with this whole Rollins, Breaker, Heyman faction. You know, it, at the very least, tease us every once in a while that they're going to be adding people into this group. And then whether you actually put someone in it or not, I want to see them act like a true heel faction and just stir shit up.
Yeah, I mean, they need heels. I mean, that's where Rusev comes in too, right? I mean, he could be a good heel. He comes in and dark music, dark everything else, comes in, cleans house, whether it's the heels or the faces of Otis and Tozawa or if it's the New Day. So there's at least a plan there, it looks like, because, I mean, Raw, I mean, both of them are pretty much void of solid heels. So he has an opportunity, I think, with Rusev if they use him correctly. So I like that part. A lot. I mean, Braun Breaker was great. I think he can benefit so much from.
Oh, from Heyman? Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know when he'll be healthy, but whenever Bronson Reed comes back, that's a guy that you might want to throw with the Heyman faction. But I mean, I don't know how
thrown in with the bloodline there at Survivor Series.
Yeah, then he broke like his entire both feet and ankles or whatever. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. But it was a pretty interesting show on Monday night. Who else was there?
Well, I'll tell you who wasn't there. A lot of people are pissed about.
The boss.
Dwayne. A lot of people are pissed that The Rock wasn't anywhere in Vegas at any point this weekend. Didn't come out on Sunday night. Didn't come out on Monday night. And the way he explained it on the Pat McAfee show yesterday was, hey, you know, people are mad that he kind of sloughed off the appearance at Elimination Chamber and the whole Cody soul stealing angle. That's going to come back at a certain point. And he kind of mentioned that sideways during yesterday's appearance too. The whole Rock Cody thing is going to come back around. I don't know when, but at some point. And I do think there is a genuine, it is purposeful right now that they are not giving people what they want. It feeds into the whole Cena heel angle of, you know what I'm going to give you? Nothing. I'm going to give you nothing because I'm here to ruin wrestling. And I think they're generating legitimate heat on guys by not giving them what they want.
Yeah, but we're talking about WrestleMania here. People spent a lot of money. There's a certain expectations for WrestleMania. I understand he wanted Cena to stand on his own and being a 17-time champ, but what would have hurt if him just walking out at the end of WrestleMania and just going, it's all, don't say anything. Just walk out there and go. People would have been that excited. I mean, he didn't have to do anything.
See, I think, I even think the whole Travis Scott thing and the way the match ended and what we may get in a Cena-Orton match at Backlash next month all rolls into the storyline, and we're all missing the forest for the trees, that they're going to purposely give us things that we dislike as wrestling fans. And that's the whole point of a Cena run here in the final year. They keep talking about, The Rock said it yesterday, and Triple H says it in the trailer for the behind-the-scenes show that'll start airing on Netflix this summer. They both say, what's the story of 2025? The story of 2025 is going to be John Cena ruining wrestling and not giving people what they want so that they can get a true babyface. Maybe it's Cody, maybe it's somebody else, to give them exactly what they want and end the whole thing at the end of the year when Cena's time is up.
I don't know. I thought that would be the case now. I mean, obviously RKO, it made sense how that opening promo happened because...
Yeah, it was perfect too. Did you see the behind the scenes, by the way, of Randy sneaking down with the ring crew to get underneath the ring?
Yeah, I mean, just for the fact that Backlash is in St. Louis, it makes all the sense. But I am almost leaning towards, you know, you're thinking that it's going to be Cena... eventually, you know, righting his wrongs that he did over the past 9 months and turning into the good guy. What if he just leaves with the title around his waist and saying, see ya, nobody's ever beat me, I'm not coming back, I am heel, I am taking the belt with me.
I don't think they take it to that degree.
Zig when they zag, right?
Yeah, no, hey, I'm enjoying it, actually, though. Like, I know a lot of people, a lot of marks online are pissed off about the way the weekend played out and the way Monday night and no Rock and all that.
Hey,
I think, like you said, they're zigging when everybody expects the zag, and they're purposely not giving us exactly what we
these
want.
These guys are smart. There is no way I got an idea. Let's bring out Travis Scott to his own music, the hardcore belt, walk down the 70-yard ramp, and it's not going to piss people off?
That's what I'm saying. They know it's going to piss people off.
They know it is.
Right. It's why they did it. Just when you think you know the answers, they change the questions, Piper.
Rowdy Piper.
Hey, real quick, we got to wrap it up here, but I do have to thank, I stopped by First and Goal Sports yesterday because I was out at the mall returning some stuff. Apparently the new thing teenage girls do now is buy 12 different dresses to try on for the prom at home and then make their parents return them all to the mall a week later, except the one that they want. So then you look like a giant weirdo going to Macy's and Wet Seal and I don't even know the names of half the stores I went to yesterday to return all these prom dresses. Anyway,
anything wrong with it? Not my color.
Yeah, it didn't quite accentuate the package the way I wanted it to. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a sequins guy. Anyway, I'm returning all these dresses at the mall yesterday, and I popped into First and Goal. I talked to Mark for a little bit. He's got some ideas about future giveaways that he's excited about. But right now, if you are one of the first 1,500 subscribers to Cabali and Mac on YouTube, you will win yourself a beautiful autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State football helmet. How's that sound, Kaboom?
Muth. Muth. Ooh. Baby Gronk. Don't call him Baby Gronk.
There it is. I'm going to stop pulling it out of the box because I don't want to get fingerprints all over.
Somebody told me that you actually have a Penn State helmet at home and you just scribbled on it and you're keeping the real one.
Shut up. Don't tell people that. You say stuff like that and then people believe it.
Do you have a Penn State helmet in your house?
I do not, no. The closest thing I have to Penn State memorabilia on the walls here is the Lion's Den sign. It was my favorite bar in college.
The wife says she wants that. So if she like signs up for YouTube, is she eligible?
No, she's an immediate family member. She can't be eligible.
That's no fair.
It's no fair. You can't do that. But if you are one of the first 1,500 subscribers, once we get to 1,500, and where are we right now, Kaboom?
Don't give me the numbers.
We are at 1,168 total subscribers right now, which means we only need 332 more, I think, if my math is correct. And we will be at 1,500, and then we'll do the random drawing for the autographed Moose Penn State helmet. Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Too bad we get that by maybe start of OTAs, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, we'll get it by then. I feel confident. When do OTAs start? Second week of June?
Well, rookie mini camp would be in 2 weeks, I think. Then there's a week or two off. They're only having – he cut OTAs down by a third. So there's only six of them rather than 10.
Yep. Is that on top of are they going to have three or four mandatory days?
Yeah, they'll have their mandatory mini camp.
Normally, so rookie mini camp, then there's OTAs, which are optional team activities, and then there's full team mini camp.
You're allowed to have 10 OTAs. They're only having six this year.
Oh, interesting.
So I think they can use those other four.
Less practices for Rodgers to skip.
So maybe. I didn't even think about that. But, he cut those back a lot. So I'm not sure why. Maybe they're starting.
He doesn't have to tell you why.
No, I don't know how it is.
All right. Well, tomorrow, let's do another episode because it will be the morning of the draft. And we can really hone in on what we think is going to go down tomorrow night. And any other news that may filter out in the next 24 hours or so. It will be the day of the first round of the draft. And then Friday morning, we can break down everything that happened Thursday night.
Where's that smoke screen picture at?
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
There you go.
There's the old smoke screen. Get ready for more and more of them.
You know what's going to be happening between now and 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock on Sunday? Or
that.
Thursday? That.
All that. All those smoke screens.
There you go.
All right. That's going to do it for today's edition of Cabali Mac. Thanks again to Dan Heck and the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com for being the presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mac. We appreciate all of you for watching and interacting. Don't forget X, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of it. Get subscribed, start following, and we'll do it again tomorrow morning, the day of the first round of the draft, right here on Cabali and Mac. See you, boom, boom.